All right, everybody, welcome into another episode of the Sports Ethos Celtics podcast. I am your host, Patrick Lounsbury, today here with my co-host, Lucas Gaynor. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow the show on Twitter at Ethos Celtics. You can also follow me at Ballin Opinions and also follow Lucas at Luca_Gaynor. Now, make sure also Sports Ethos podcast listeners take a moment, go follow Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysts to, again, that's Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. How you doing today, Lucas, man? After three games since Christmas, man, we haven't been on a podcast since Christmas. How we feeling, man? Hopefully you had some quality time with the family and they didn't disappoint you like the Celtics have been disappointing us.
My Christmas, personally, thank you for asking, Patrick. I hope you as well had a good Christmas. My Christmas was great. I mean, spent a lot of time with the fam. You know, it was all good. Had some food, had some drinks. Definitely was great. The Celtics, on the other hand, absolutely disappointed me and let me down the last three games. Three very winnable games, Patrick, that we dropped. And obviously, you know, the most painful one somehow was on Christmas. I don't know if you agree or disagree. These last two, I've kind of felt like numb to the pain, but the Christmas Day game felt like we had the game in control for about 40 of the 48 minutes. And then, you know, the end of the game, Bucks kind of did what they do. Defending champs, they took over and snatched the game away from us. But how about you, Patrick? How was your holiday season?
You know, man, I caught COVID over right before Christmas started, so I've been in isolation. I actually get tested today to go see if I am good to go and cleared. So I will be going to get tested today, which would be nice. And, you know, I'm on the recovery. So I had to deal with isolation. I lost internet, Wi-Fi for about 3 or 4 days while I was in isolation. And I watched the Celtics lose multiple times and also watching my Niners lose. So it's been tough.
That sounds brutal.
It's been a rough stretch. But man, New year, new me. No, I'm just kidding. Same me, as LaMelo said in his interview. That was funny interview, man. Oh, my God. If you haven't caught that interview of LaMelo, oh, somebody need to go out there. Have you seen that clip yet,
Lucas? I did
not see
that yet, but that sounds exactly like something LaMelo would say.
Oh, it's hilarious. I'm going to actually probably text you that clip now.
I love LaMelo. But, yeah, man, I don't know. Where do you want to start? Because, I mean, I don't even know how deeply we really need to rehash these games. Like, obviously,
let's just group them all together. Let's talk about it. We'll start with Christmas and move on from there. We don't got to go in super depth of it, but we should definitely address it. Tatum was in that Christmas game, but then he ended up catching COVID and then we lost him for these last two. Maybe that's why we feel more numb and not as hurt by those losses. But that Milwaukee loss was tough, man. That Milwaukee loss was tough on Christmas.
Well, like I said, I mean, we had that game under control. I'm pretty sure the Bucks took their first lead in the fourth quarter. Could be wrong. Like I said, felt like 40 of the 48 minutes the Celtics were in control. We're winning the game. We were playing good defense. Offense was doing pretty well, honestly, as well. Jason was our leading scorer. Jalen didn't have a particularly great game, but he kind of found his rhythm. But I don't know. I said, no matter what white guy we try and put on Giannis over the years, they're going to get dunked on. And unfortunately, you know, the victim this time was Juancho Hernangómez. Man, Giannis put him absolutely in the hoop. At the end of the day, Giannis kind of could do whatever he wanted. You know, we tried to build the wall, but, you know, who were we missing this game too? Because we were missing some people.
I think we were missing Josh Richardson. We're also missing Aaron Nesmith has been out because of COVID safety protocols.
We didn't have Horford either in this game.
We didn't have Grant.
And we didn't have Horford. So I got to commend the effort on Christmas Day. I mean, this game was not a game where effort like seemed like it was a real problem, unlike the next two games we're going to cover. The team really gave it their all, man, and you know, it does suck that we lost. And I was really upset towards the end of that game because – excuse me. You know, the Celtics had a chance to win the game, and there's particularly one play where the Bucks got a fast break where the Celtics were up by two with about a minute left, 45 seconds left. Drives to the hoop. Rob Williams makes an amazing block to potentially save the game from going into overtime. However, the rest of the players on the Celtics are ball watching. Watch the ball dribble out to a big. He shuffles it to Wesley Matthews, wide open. Nobody within 10 to 15 feet of this man. He's a professional basketball player, man. He's going to make that three-pointer every time, and the Celtics just couldn't recover from that. And that was probably the loudest I'd yelled at my TV during a Celtics game in years, it feels like, because, you know, it's hard to get upset. Like I said, it's kind of hard to get upset with all these COVID outs. You know, we didn't have three of our top eight players, for sure, Jay Rich, Grant, and Horford, especially Horford and Giannis. You know, Horford does a lot for us defensively, but it was still disappointing nonetheless, but I don't think it was – that loss was the best loss, if that makes any sense, of the three we've taken since Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't happy with that game strictly because, you know, we go into halftime up 15, held Middleton to 11 points, held Giannis to 7 points, Brown has 19, Tatum has 13 points, Pritchard has 11 points, Celtics were flowing, they were moving the ball, and then they kind of just relaxed in the third, and the third was – the bad quarter. It was the terrible quarter where we gave up, you know, we the point differential was 11 points. We, you know, Milwaukee gets back into the game. We give up 33 points in that quarter. That was, we held Milwaukee to 47.
Give up 43 points in that third quarter.
43. And Milwaukee only scored 47 to halftime. We almost gave them what they had in first half all in the first, in the third quarter.
I mean,
I just that for me is just unacceptable. Yeah. It's unacceptable.
You know, you got to come out. Listen, it's not like the Celtics played a great first half and they came out like they could just go through the motions and do the exact same thing they did in the first half. And obviously that's not how the NBA works against any team, you know, regardless of who's active, who's inactive, as we found out in Minnesota, as we found out in LA, but especially not if you're facing the defending champions with the reigning MVP. You know, you got to come out with your foot on the neck. You got to come out with a sense of urgency, a sense of aggression. And the Celtics sorely lacked that in that third quarter. They were just kind of trading buckets. But Milwaukee ended up getting a few more buckets, like you said, winning that quarter by 11. And then the Celtics didn't even get to score 20 points in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that's just a recipe for an L every single time. Lack of execution on the offensive end and a lack of urgency on the defensive end. That's never going to win you a game against the defending champs.
Yeah, and that's been my thing with this year, you know, going into that Clippers game. The Celtics have now, they have 19 losses on the season. 10 out of 19 losses, they've been up in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, that's frustrating.
Winning. So you can easily, like, I know it's easy to be like, well, you know, like they should come away with at least half those, I would say. I wouldn't say that, oh, yeah, all 10. Cool, I get it, you know, right. Got to finish out. But the fact that you were up in 10 out of your 19 losses in the fourth quarter, that's just disheartening because it's showing that it's a trend that you can't close games. And if you can't close games, that's a problem. And the Celtics are 29th in the league, second to last in the league as far as fourth quarter differentials.
It's just not. It's just a bad sign, obviously. There's no really way to curtail that anyway, but that's bad. And, you know, we talked yesterday, Patrick, and I was kind of mentioning how at the beginning of the year when we were in close games, didn't really feel like the worst thing ever because, you know, a lot of the games were close. But if you see a pattern of continually losing close games, like you said, 10 of our 19 losses we were winning in the fourth quarter, that's a really bad sign, I think. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, who's playing on the court, the players we have available, the players that we need to rely on that maybe we can't rely on. And a lot of it has to do with effort and mentality as well because I think we can – I'm just going to jump quickly to the Clippers game. I think you can tell me if you agree with this. There was really only one guy, one, maybe two guys playing with a sense of urgency against the Clippers, like a dire sense of urgency, and that was Robert Williams. I mean –
Robert Williams and Al Horford.
Robert Williams had 10 offensive rebounds against the Clippers. He was working his butt off every single play. He was boxing out Zubac, making sure they couldn't crash the glass. He was crashing the glass relentlessly. He was doing everything he could, man, to try and keep the Celtics in the game. And, you know, I just need to see that effort 1 through 10. It can't just be one or two guys. That's not – I mean, listen, I rarely agree with what Scalabrine says in the broadcast, but he said you need to play with that sort of energy to win games in the NBA. That's how it is. Especially Now, especially if you're playing against people who are fighting for their lives in the NBA, like they were against the Timberwolves and the Clippers. These are guys who have nothing guaranteed to them. They're on minimum deals. They're on rookie scale minimum deals. Like, these guys are fighting for a roster spot. They have everything to prove, so they're putting everything out there on the line. Can't say the same about our guys, honestly, those last two games. And I know Jalen's going to catch a lot of flack for the Clippers game, but he was the only person putting any rim pressure on the rim. And he was like the only person who could, you know, create his own shot, really, besides maybe Pritchard. So
he also took 13 threes, though. One of 13.
Yeah, and that's my problem with how he played. He needed to just keep going downhill and then kick. And like I mentioned this before the show, Jaylen Brown, no assists in the game. That's going to be a popular talking point. But do remember, he had 8 potential assists, which is tied for most potential assists for a player without an assist this season. So, I mean, we all saw it. 4 for 42 from 3. A lot of shots were clanked, but I don't know, Patrick. But where do you want to go from here?
Yeah, you know, that Clippers game was pretty weird. We couldn't buy a bucket from downtown. Like, the only person who shot efficiently from downtown was 2 of 3 from deep, and that was our boy Grant Williams. Been the best 3-point shooting guy on our whole roster all year. You know, just like last year, it was Payne Pritchard. You know, this year it's Grant Williams. But going into halftime there, we were down 7 points and we outscored the Clippers 26-8 in the paint.
That's a weird game.
26-8 in the paint. But we shot 11% from three. And here's another stat for you, right? So we talk about that poor shooting game. So going into that fourth quarter, the Celtics shot 3 of 24 from deep. You know what that means? That team took 18 threes in the fourth quarter and made one. So they didn't learn. Like, you had 3 quarters of like, hey, that shot's not dropping for us. Hey, we're getting whatever we want in the paint. Let's keep shooting. That's where it gets frustrating. I don't care if you're having an off night. If you're not a shooting team, cool. Commit the fact that you're not a shooting team. Stop trying to convince yourself you are and understand that, hey, this is a bad shooting night. And then go out there and get to the rim. Get fouls. Get your shooting going at the free throw line. I didn't see that aggression from the team in the fourth quarter, and that is what frustrated me the most with that Clippers game.
Yeah. I would say a combination of just the chucking and then the – I mean, there didn't seem to be a sense of urgency. And listen, I don't really like to question – players' efforts that much because, you know, I feel like, you know, they made the NBA, they're trying. But, I mean, it's pretty hard to, you know, defend the effort level in the Clippers game. I mean, they just, like I said, I don't think anybody really brought that sense of urgency outside of Rob Will. And then, like, just to piggyback off what you're saying, it's not like the Celtics couldn't get to the rim. The high-low post stuff, you know, was working well. You attack a closeout, go, make a play. They're, like, inside the paint. There was a lot of those plays that seemed positive. But, you know, once again, the Celtics just decided to keep shooting threes. And like you said, 1 for 18 in the fourth quarter. That's just – I mean, at what point do you just realize that it's not going to work, shooting threes? How many threes? 10 threes in the fourth quarter? 12, 8? Like, at some point, you got to realize we just need to attack downhill. Even like Pritchard did this a couple times in the game, up fake, take a couple steps inside the three, and he hit
some mid range
exactly.
jumpers.
And I know,
yeah.
People don't like those shots, the mid rangers, because you might as well take the three. Well, if you play basketball, you know if you're not having a good shooting night from outside, it's always a good thing to, you know, take a couple dribbles in, take a pull up from a little bit closer, because guess what, shots from closer are easier to make a lot of the time.
And it was not a good game for Pritchard, man, who had actually – he had a really good game against Milwaukee, and I thought he had a good game against the Wolves. But, you know, he was bound to have a game where he kind of – I feel like he's just getting gassed out with all his minutes, because Ime went from giving him 8 minutes to 4 minutes to no minutes to all of a sudden 40. You know, like that's it's a bit hard. And we talked about that earlier in the season, was like consistency. It's harder as a role player when you're not getting the consistent minutes to get into a rhythm. And I think he got into a little bit of rhythm and then the minutes got overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, he played 45 minutes in that Timberwolves game.
And
you could just see by the end of the game, he was kind of front rimming shots. And, you know, he just legs kind of went out from underneath him. So I can kind of understand, like you're saying, without consistency throughout the entire season, playing heavy, heavy minutes in three games in like 5 or 6 days, 5 days. I can absolutely see how that's a that's just going to take a toll physically on your endurance and in your stamina.
Yeah, and I don't know. Have you heard what the reason for Marcus Smart's laceration is yet? I have not seen the report. No. I just know it's a laceration, but he's missed these last few games.
And we have missed him.
And yeah, I was going to say, like, the ball handling and the ball movement that he provides is not there, and it's hurting this team. This team is in desperate need of that and Jason Tatum scoring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and also Marcus is the guy on top of, like you said, you know, the ball handling. Like, you know, I understand maybe Marcus is not a pure point guard. He's not a Ricky Rubio. You know, he's obviously not Chris Paul. Like, he's not that type
of
player.
Shout out to Ricky Rubio. Hopefully speedy recovery, by the way. He tore his ACL.
That's a shame, tearing his ACL in the midst of a wonderful game, in the midst of a wonderful season. That was very disappointing. But, you know, Marcus is still one of our best like pick and roll ball handlers on the team. He can run. He can find the open man. He can run the pick and roll. And on top of that, it's the sense of urgency he plays with. Say what you want about Marcus Smart, but you can't ever question his effort, you know? And he'll hold people accountable, you know, when he's playing just off of how hard he plays. Other players see him playing that hard, and they kind of have to raise their effort level. I've mentioned that a few times, and we really missed him. But you know who we sorely, sorely missed on top of Marcus Smart is that man you mentioned, Jason Tatum. I mean,
yeah,
it's jarring.
I think we win the Minnesota and the Clipper game with Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe the narrative around the team and how we're feeling is different, you know, like going 2-1 in the last three and we almost won the Milwaukee game. Like, we're feeling a little bit better, but right now that we go on a 3-game slide, man. And we've lost to two teams that we should have beaten.
Honestly, all three of those games, the Celtics should have won. I feel confident saying that. And there's less shame in losing to Milwaukee. Like, obviously I know what you're getting at, Patrick. Like, we pretty much played the Iowa Timberwolves and the Santa Cruz and the Santa Cruz Clippers. No, I'm like half joking and half being serious. Like, we can't make excuses about inactives when you look at the Clippers. Inactives were what, 9 or 10 deep. Like,
and you can't say that the Celtics didn't have the best player on the court in at least the last two games.
I know, because Jalen Noel was better than Jaylen Brown in Minnesota. So no, I'm just kidding. Well, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's just, you know, like you said, if say we win these last two games, that's why I'm trying to stay like somewhat level-headed. Like, because if we win the two games, I wouldn't want my reaction to be crazily different. Because say if we do squeak out those wins, yeah, we'll probably feel better just because it was a W instead of L in the stat sheet. But I still think at the end of the day, the root issues are still there for the Celtics.
Yeah, man. And before we roll into this Timberwolves game a little bit more, make sure that everybody go ahead and have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos. Thrive Fantasy, prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick your player props on the biggest names playing every night, score points when your drop hits, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ethos over at thrivefantasy.com. Yeah, man, going into this Minnesota game, that was rough. And then just hearing Jaylen Brown just call himself out in the presser and just talk about how he felt this game was really on him. It was a pretty rough little trip there. We were on the road and everything. I thought maybe, you know, I was coming back to Boston, getting the Clippers with no Paul George a second time. I was like, oh yeah, this is where we get a payback. We're back home. Jaylen bounces back. It just didn't happen. Marcus Morris just decided to be Mook, and we remember that Mook. It just made me miss those teams, man. I hate to say it, but like going against that Clippers team and watching Mook do those things made me miss the team when we had Mook.
100%. And it made me miss Mook not only because, listen, he's an isolation bucket getter. I mean, I don't really play 2K, but I played enough 2K to know that Mook would have the difficult shots badge if this man had a badge in real life, because he was making all sorts of step backs, snatch back crossovers, fadeaways, I mean, honestly, it was funny. The best defender on him to me was probably Al Horford. Like, anyone smaller than him, Mook is just treating like a little baby and is getting whatever he wanted. Even Josh Richardson, who is a dang good defender in his own right, Mook has some weight on him, has a couple inches on him, man. He couldn't do anything to stop Mook. But I don't want to single Jay Rich out. Like I said, it's pretty much everybody who wasn't Al Horford. Mook did what he wanted. Romeo, whether it be Romeo, even Jalen a couple times. I mean, yeah, it was that was tough to see. And also, the real reason I miss him is because he's a nasty guy. He plays with a mean streak. He gives your team an edge. I mean, Patrick, who would you say on our team gives us an edge? And I don't think Marcus
Smart, and that's it.
Marcus has the edge, but he's more. I see him more of an effort guy. You know what I mean? Obviously, Marcus plays with the
edge. It's a defensive edge. He gives you a defensive edge. Morris gives you both offense and defense.
And he gives
edge.
You that mental, like, bro. He's not he's kind of. I don't want to call him a goon because he's a very skilled player, and the connotation with goon is like that there's no skill. But he's like a. He's a bully, man. That's what he is, and you need that on a basketball team. You need somebody to set that tone, make sure we can't get punked, and it feels like we don't really have that guy. And I think that is
– He reminds me a lot of like a Z-Bo. Remember Zach Randolph?
Yeah,
like that type of role
Z-Bo.
Where it's like he – you want somebody to go out there and get like a dirty bucket, like go and bang with a body and hit a tough shot on somebody just to kind of get the swing in back your way. Mook is your guy.
Yeah, he was really great in the Celtics, man. It really – and Patrick, I had the same exact feeling. Like, when I saw him making these isolation buckets, it just made me think of the year where the Celtics had all those comebacks at the end of the game. At the end of the game.
And he was hitting clutch shot after clutch shot after clutch shot, man.
Also, this is just a sidebar. Remember how – I just can't believe how dirty Celtics fans did Terry Rozier at the end of his tenure here.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I love Terry, and people lost faith in him so quickly, and I think –
Shout out Scary Terry doing good things
exactly.
In Charlotte,
just,
man.
He's been playing well, man. That team was so great, and I feel like people gave up on it so quickly. Terry, you know, maybe called his own number a little too much for people, and people just, you know, got real sick of him, I believe, till the very end, even to a fall. But we can move on. I mean, yeah, man, I'm right there with you, Patrick. It did have me missing those 2016, 2017 days.
Yeah, man, and I think us thinking back about these older players now, you don't appreciate the things you have until they're gone.
100%.
And that's why we're reminiscing, is like we're so down on how this roster is constructed as it is right now. And
thank you,
Danny. It's really hurt like our soul watching, you know, guys like Romeo right now not being able to, you know, contribute in a way that we thought they would be able to. And the other younger guys on the roster, and we just look back and like, man, we used to be stacked. Like our eighth best player back in like 2016 is better than our third best player now. Like it's
crazy.
Bad. Like it's crazy. So
and you know, a lot of it you can't even blame, like, you know, on management. Obviously there is blame to be put on certain places, but when it comes to like Kyrie, he was gone. He just wanted out of here. Okay.
And even then, that team was still good, man. We ripped off like
a
20-something game winning streak. We were winning a lot.
Things that fell out, and with Hayward, his injuries obviously during the time here, and then, you know, the Celtics could never pay him $30 million a year like the Hornets did. That was never, ever going to happen. So I don't really think the front office deserves blame for, like, the two studs leaving, but a lot of the other things, man, like, it's crazy turn of events, and, you know, I'm not trying to, like, I have the – hindsight, but I mean, Terry and Kemba, like Terry getting 3 for 70 and Kemba getting a max deal. Like at the time, you know, I was just so excited to have Kemba on the roster. Well, I don't need to rehash every mistake Danny Ainge made in his last year and a half as the GM of the Celtics. But like you said, you need to learn to appreciate things when you have them still. But I think this can kind of segue into, I think Celtics fans should be expecting some moves here. Brad, to me, has very clearly been the type of guy who wants players who have proven that they're good. He does not want to wait around. Because, listen, like what we're talking about, Patrick, Brad coached those teams. Brad knows what it's like to have a good roster. He's going to want a good roster with proven players. Wouldn't be surprised if potentially Nesmith, Romeo, Dennis, God forbid, Al Horford, and some draft picks are on the move, you know, come trade season. You know, for maybe some more proven guys, definitely some shooters. some bigger bodies, some backup wings that we desperately need. I just would not be surprised at all if that happened.
Yeah, I do. We talked about this before, and it's the first time on the podcast that we'll be talking about more so of this type of stuff. But I personally don't like a move if it's too small. I think if we're going to shake things up, I feel like we need to shake it up pretty big. And we talked about it before this podcast, right before. But I am opening up the door of possibly moving Jaylen Brown. Now, that doesn't mean I want to sell him for pennies on dollars. It doesn't mean I want to trade him this year. But the door is open, and I think there has to be some type of consideration. And we've even talked about packages. If, you know, per se, the Celtics were able to package Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Al Horford, and picks, and some younger guys on the roster, and they were able to acquire in a three-team deal like two All-Stars. I think that's a move you consider, because I don't think you're moving laterally at that point. You're solidifying a three solid, you know, stars. I don't know what those two stars are. We talked about guys from Ben Simmons to Bradley Beal to CJ McCollum to, you know, these are scenarios that aren't really there. There's no smoke there. There's no fire there. Right. It's just us kind of like, but being more open to that idea, I think, is something that I'm more on the side of. I would prefer just to shake things up huge if we shake it up. And I think Lucas is more on the side of like, do some small moves. And if there's a big move available, we can do that as well. So,
and yeah, just to start with the Jaylen thing. So I know Patrick and I have like been banging the drum about how we don't want to trade Jaylen Brown. And listen, I would prefer not to, but at the end of the day, I feel like you got to look in the mirror and say, we make these moves that I'm talking about. Like, I'm just going to throw out there, say we get rid of Nesmith, Langford, and Schroeder, and maybe a first and a second, and we end up getting a guy like Doug McDermott and a guy like Kyle Anderson, okay? Proven NBA players who are proven good. Doug McDermott, knockdown shooter. Okay, we get a proven knockdown shooter in the building. Slow-mo is a really good backup wing. I mean, he can run offense. He's not a knockdown shooter by any stretch, but he's capable. You know, he's a good defender, a good ball handler. You know, say we do that, right? Those are moves I would love right there. If we could swap those three players for those two players, oh, I would love that. But say we make those moves, and it's the same thing, right? Nothing really changes. You know, it's just an on-paper move. It looks better on paper, but on court, it doesn't translate. Then you really, really, really have to consider making a big shakeup. And I'm not going to totally deviate from the fact that I want to keep Jaylen Brown, because I do. I mean, Patrick, I said this to you before the pod. I mean, we drafted Jaylen. Jaylen has improved more than almost anyone in the NBA from 2016 to now. And I would love to see him retire in Kelly Green, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's by far our best trade chip contract-wise and skill-wise. And, you know, I think you do kind of have to, like, look in the mirror and see if there's any trades, like Patrick's saying, that boost us up a notch as opposed to just some sort of lateral switch. I think you seriously have to consider that, and that pains me to say. And like Patrick's saying, I don't want to just trade Jaylen to shake things up. Like a Jaylen for Sabonis deal, that would, I don't know. I would not like that, Patrick. I don't know about you. I've seen that floated around. That's not something I'm interested at all, right? Sabonis is a great player, too. I really like Sabonis, but.
You throwing Brogdon in there? Because we'll throw Smart.
See, yeah, exactly. I mean, something can work out, but I just don't think Sabonis is going to be the answer to our problems. And, I think it's going to have to be a much bigger deal. And personally, my belief is that the Celtics are going to try and tinker with the end of the rotation, get some actual rotation players in the end of the rotation. And then if things don't change, I think, you know, there's definitely potential for a big move during the offseason. I think so. But I don't think we need to rush to make that splash deal, that blockbuster this season at the trade deadline. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
No, a lot of this could happen in the offseason.
I think it most likely will. I mean, I really do believe the Celtics will try and shore up the end of the rotation with some legitimately good players without, like, you know, giving away all of our draft capital, because that doesn't seem smart. But if we do that and it doesn't work, then, you know, the offseason is going to be a busy one for President of Basketball Operations, Brad Stevens.
Yeah, and I think Brad already he's tried. He's trying to shake up the roster. Like, he brought back Al Horford, you know, a veteran presence and somebody who's more proven and understands their role. He's brought guys like Josh Richardson in. He's brought guys like Dennis Schroeder in, where, like, you know the level of basketball player that these guys are. It just hasn't panned out for us this year. Like, at times it looks like it clicks, and other times it doesn't. I know Lucas doesn't like going into the mentality of players and stuff, but a lot of the mistakes that I think that we see on this Celtics team has come from years past. So I'm not on the team. There's Celtics fans out there that want Ime fired and like, Ime out of there. Ime is the problem, blah, 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 blah. Now, Ime deserves some blame to a degree because you are the coach and you're trying to swing everything around. But also, he's shown glimpses of this team swinging around. But people gotta understand that bad habits are harder to break and start new ones when you've been doing them so often and so long. And this team has had these bad habits for so long. So he's still trying to break those habits. And my thing is, like, if these players don't break those habits, then you have to move on from some of those players. Mm-hmm. And the core of those players, we talked about this, Lucas, there's been four guys on this roster that have really been together for a good amount of time. And that's Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Robert Williams. So all I'm saying is that something has to kind of change at some point if you don't see a trend of difference in how we are executing and how we are playing.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you about Ime. I mean, he obviously deserves some blame, but I mean, just, is it even fair? Like, I just think it's so ridiculous that people think that he has done fireable things so far in this COVID-wrecked season. Oh, we've had injuries and COVID. Like, he deserves blame, like you're saying. I just fully agree with you, Patrick. I mean, he hasn't been perfect, but he definitely is not the reason why we're bad. Because like you said, we've seen these habits for a while. Like, you know, the lack of urgency, the coming out in the third quarter, like after a good first half, thinking that it's just all well and good, we can go through the motions, do the same thing. Like, that's obviously not on Ime. And yeah, like you said, you know, we might have to shake up the core. Listen, I think Smart can be here on the championship team. I really do. But if you can package, like, if you could turn Smart to CJ McCollum with picks and Aaron Nesmith, like, bro, you got to do that at this point. I mean, you just have to. I don't know how realistic that is either, but I'm just saying, I would love to keep Smart around. Obviously, he's one of my favorite players. I think he's one of the top five defenders in the NBA. He's first team all defense. He's becoming a better ball handler and, like, pick and roll guy on offense as far as, you know, running the offense. But, I do think, yeah, okay, we're getting closer to the date of we need to make something serious shake. And I do think that comes in the summertime, like I said. Tinker during the season. If nothing changes, boom. Summertime, you know, Brad's going to be exploring a lot of options. And also, I just got a Marcus Smart jersey for Christmas, so I hope he doesn't get traded, but, you know, we'll see.
It is what it is at the end of the day. It's a business, and we got to take our fandom out of it sometimes and understand what we think might be best for the team overall. And change sometimes is good. Sometimes it's good to get new scenery, new guys in here, new mentalities. Wish we had guys like Marcus Morris, though, man, for sure, to help us get through some of these rough patches here. So hoping Horford's mentality is helping a lot this year, but – man, these last three games are rough. The Celtics are on this 0-3 stretch right now. It doesn't get any easier as we do play the Phoenix Suns on Friday, which is tomorrow. And man, Lucas, how you feeling about us going in, you know, welcoming Phoenix into Boston tomorrow?
Now listen, this could go one of two ways. I'm definitely not expecting a victory. Okay, the Suns are arguably the best team in basketball.
Expecting the slide to go 0-4. They have Booker and CP3 too. A win would do a ton for morale.
So, like I've been saying also, you know, the past couple weeks is that the schedule lightens up in January and February. Really does. So if we beat the Suns on New Year's Eve, I think that could be a big morale booster going into the easy schedule, Patrick, and this conversation could seem like a lifetime ago if the Celtics rattle off some wins here in the next 60 days. But I don't know. I'm not expecting a win. I mean, we're playing one of the best teams in the league. Our offense is going to have to be on point. We're not going to have Tatum back, it's looking like. I mean, I think it's guaranteed not to come back, actually. So Yeah, it's just going to be rough, man. I mean, I wish it was a little bit of a worse team, obviously, after this three-game slide we've had. But, you know, I just feel like that's classic. It's kind of a microcosm of how the season has gone, you know, right when you need a kind of a punching bag to let your frustration out, in walks Mike Tyson.
I mean, it was the Clippers and Timberwolves. Those were the punching bags, you know. Those were two easy punching bags, and we just we whiffed. We whiffed on them. We play down the competition. We play up the competition. So I expect us to play pretty well against the Phoenix Suns. I don't necessarily think we come out with the win. But the good news is, guys, hear me out. The Celtics on Saturday will be 0-0 in the year of 2022.
Yes, that's a
new year, fresh start, baby. New year, fresh start. 2022 vision.
New year, new Celtics. I mean, the same Celtics, but to quote LaMelo.
You had to have seen that video.
I just watched it, yeah. Yeah, but no, it's tough. I mean, hopefully we get a good 48. Honestly, Patrick, I'm not going to be mad if we get 48 minutes of effort, even if the Celtics lose the game. I mean, we need to start at like square one in sense of urgency and effort is square one for me. So, like, we're below 500. We're multiple games below 500. I think the Celtics are the 11th seed right now. Am I correct?
I believe so. I think we're 2 or 3 games under 500.
Yeah, 16 and 19, I know. I think we're the either 11 or 10. And, you know, I don't know. Just effort, that's going to be the first.
I mean, we're 35 games into the season, man. Like, this is a good sample size of what this team is.
It is. And, I mean, obviously it's been marred a little bit with COVID, but pretty much every team is dealing with that as well, so – everyone's playing in the same set of circumstances, so it's not like that's a massive excuse. You know, the Celtics have not had a lot of consistency as far who they have had active. But like I said,
poor Ime, bro. Poor Ime. His first year as a head coach, and he has to deal with, like, COVID and inconsistency and lineups and stuff so often.
I don't think,
like,
he's done terrible. I really don't.
That's rough.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're saying fire Ime, you just need to give this man – you just need to take a look in the mirror, I think, because –
also, this we should know the Celtics organization, we're not as dysfunctional as that, and like, we give guys like 2-3 years.
Exactly.
Like, that's like, if this team looks like this in 3 years and like still having habits, then it's like, all right,
yeah,
we made you on the hot seat, my friend. But no, this
and I did team mention is, this about I do wish we still had Jay Larinaga or like Kara Lawson or somebody who'd been around the last few years, because we brought in an all new, pretty inexperienced and an NBA coaching staff. And I think a lot of these guys are great minds, but, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. I feel like that's not too harsh a thing to say. But like I said, 48 minutes of effort against the Suns will say a lot to me. Because, Patrick, I mean, you're a basketball player. You lose 3 games in a row in this fashion, right? That can be a real backbreaker, or it can be a real motivator. You know, you can see how those games were, and you can say, I don't ever want to play games like that again. I don't ever want to lose to a G League, a squad led by some G League players again. Or, you know, it could make us fold.
Do we need a Marcus Smart team meeting again?
I need Marcus Smart on the court, because we really missed that guy. But
I don't know what happened with his last game.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear some details. But I hope he's okay. I hope he's in good health. But all I'm asking for is some effort and maybe more than 4 made 3-pointers out of 42, maybe.
That's all we asked for, man. We literally had a historically bad shooting night, and we lost to the Clippers. It is what it is. We've lost to Minnesota. That one was more unexcusable. Jalen just played terrible in that game. Turned over the ball a ton. And you know, the Celtics are hoping to just regroup together, man. There ain't not much left for me to nail on here out of these 3 games. Do you have anything else you wanted to add, Lucas? I think we kind of hit the nail on everything.
Yeah, man, I'm all out. I just
I feel like deflated, man. I really feel like my energy's low after my expectations for this team has sadly dropped a lot since the start of the season.
Yeah, 4-6 seed is what I said at the beginning of the year. We're looking more like a locked door 7-11 seed. Or dare I even say 8-12? But you know, like I said, the schedule lightens up, so. I mean, listen, Patrick, if we really are just below a few games below 500 at the end of January, then it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say at that point. Because
I mean, this team, if this team gets 100% healthy, I wouldn't be shocked if we just ripped off like an 8-game win streak.
Yeah, I think the Celtics could win 2 out of every 3 games in February and January, health permitting, you know, given what the schedule is. But like you said, I think pretty much covered everything, man. I just want to see a full 48 minutes out of the Celtics against the Suns, win or loss. I think that'll be a good step into starting 2022, right? Patrick, what are you doing for New Year's? Anything, man? You taking it easy off your little sickness?
Well, I actually got a text message with my results back about 32 minutes ago, and I am
congratulations, sir.
So I am a free man, so we'll see if I'm going to be doing anything for New Year's. I'm not super sure yet. Did you have any plans? What's your New Year's resolution? You know, we got to do that. We got to do that.
Oh, my New Year's resolution. Wow.
It can't be Celtics related. We don't want to hear it. It's got to be unrelated to Celtics.
See, I'm not really – I got to be honest. I'm not really a New Year's resolution. If I have a resolution or a goal, I'd like to start the day. I think about it. But I think – here's my New Year's resolution. I'll give you one. Going to sleep earlier. You know.
Getting more sleep.
I feel like I'm washed.
I like that,
and
man.
There's no reason for me to be staying up past 12:30 a.m. Yeah, someone down in the comments said no cursing. Listen, I did an entire – hour-long show without any cursing, Vince, so I think I did pretty well there.
There's actually no cursing in our Celtics podcast, like, ever. I don't think we ever curse.
Yeah. So I'm already doing pretty well with that one, but more rest in 2022. How about you, Patrick?
Resolution, man, is honestly just to be better people, man. Just let's grow as individuals, each person. Hope people around me I can help them grow, and they can help me grow. And yeah, man, hopefully we can get this podcast as well growing. That's something that I would be really excited about.
100%.
But yeah, man, just honestly, people around me, yeah, add substance to them, and hopefully the people I surround myself add substance to me.
I love that. It's all about personal growth, man. You got to know what's good, what's bad for you. I think that's a good resolution for everybody to take into 2022.
Drink more water, please.
Single one of you. Drink more water. Eat more vegetables. Eat more fruit. Get boosted. You know, do all the things you got to do to stay healthy in 2022. But Patrick, that's all for me, man.
Yeah, man, it's all for me. Make sure you guys go ahead and head over to Apple Podcast and give us our 5-star rating and review. We really do appreciate that very much. We also appreciate you guys streaming us on Spotify, where we are at. You guys can remember, you guys can go check out the show on Twitter at Ethos Celtics. You can also follow me on Twitter at Ball and Opinions, and Lucas at Luca_Gainer. And then quickly before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use a coupon code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also to check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HoopBall on the third page of the sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. All right, man. Yes, sir. That's all we have for you guys. Lucas, we're out.
All right.
Later.